we're meditating on the events of our lives and trying to see God's hand in them, seeing where God was present and offering us opportunities, offering us grace, and those moments where we showed up for those, when we received God's grace and embraced it, and those moments when we stepped aside from grace, when we turned in our freedom away from God. And again, our meditation on those things can yield great fruit because we understand more, again, of God's great love and mercy, but also we understand the ways and the reasons and the sources for our sins. And so we're able then to prepare better, to seek God's mercy, to invite his healing, and to make different choices in the future. Welcome back to Deep in Christ. I'm your host, John Mark Grodi, here at the Coming Home Network International. And once again, we're back with another conversation about this, our daily task of growing in imitation of and relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. It's great to be with you again. We're about to talk more about prayer today. You know, the pillars that we talk about on this show really are prayer, virtue, and vocation. Three key aspects of this journey with Christ. We're all about the journey here at the Coming Home Network International. And we're going to talk more about prayer today. We're going to talk about meditative prayer in the midst of this series of discussions about the journey of prayer. Before we get into that, I want to remind you, as always, that the Coming Home Network is here to accompany you on your journey with our Lord Jesus Christ and his church. If you're someone who's exploring the Catholic Church, thinking about becoming Catholic, especially if you're someone from another Christian denomination, you're exploring the Catholic Church, thinking of it, we'd love to accompany you. We have resources for you. We have staff members who'd love to talk to you and pray with you on your journey. We have an online community. We have a newsletter. We have events, all kinds of great stuff for you on the continuing journey. So, once again, today, talking more about the journey of prayer. Last time, I discussed this section in the Catechism on the first expression of prayer. The Catechism talks about three key expressions of prayer in our journey of prayer, our relationship with the Lord. And the first of these is vocal prayer, you know, where we begin with the body, we begin with our mouths, we begin with our minds, and we begin by speaking to God, speaking to him words of worship and love and adoration, words of thanksgiving, words of repentance, words of supplication, our needs or the needs of others. And this is a necessary starting point in prayer. We start with our human nature. We start bodily. We start in a concrete way, whether it's prayers that we have learned, rote prayers of the church, or whether we're speaking from our heart to God. We begin by speaking to God. And this vocal prayer is an important part of the life of prayer. It's one that we learn from Christ himself. He gives us the example. He gives us the prayer to pray in the Our Father. And it's an important part of our life in prayer. And really, when we're thinking about practically like setting up our prayer life, setting up our rule of life, our routine, these concrete ways are sometimes part of how we do that, right? We go to the liturgy, the Holy Mass. We pray the rosary. We pray the liturgy of the hours throughout the day. We start with the things that we say to God. It's an important structural part of our life with God we're going to talk more about meditation today and about contemplation in the next episode. Those types of prayer are more dependent on what God's doing and whether we're able to be open to that. And some days that's more or less difficult, right? Just like it's more or less difficult on different days to be present to other people, right? But we begin by verbalizing what's in our hearts, by speaking to them, by saying what we believe, by saying, I love you. Like, that's the way the communication begins. We start with that. And then that paves the way for going deeper. So vocal prayer, important, very good stuff. There's a lot there in the Catechism, definitely worth going back over. But today, I want to move on to the next section about meditation, the second expression of prayer. So vocal prayer is about what we're saying to God. Meditation is, and we're going to read this in a moment, but meditation is above all a quest. That's how the Catechism puts it. It's a quest. We are engaging our minds with an object, whether that's a book or the scriptures or even the contents of our lives, as we'll see here. And we're engaging our minds to search, to pour through things, to think through, and then ultimately to be open to how the Lord wants to speak to us, what he wants to speak to us through these things. Let's begin. This is paragraph 2705 in the Catechism. Let me read it to you. Meditation is above all a quest. The mind seeks to understand the why and how of the Christian life in order to adhere and respond to what the Lord is asking. The required attentiveness is difficult to sustain. We are usually helped by books, and Christians do not want for them. The sacred scriptures, particularly the Gospels, holy icons, liturgical texts of the day or season, writings of the spiritual fathers, works of spirituality, the great book of creation and that of history, the page on which the today of God is written. Beautiful paragraph there, opening paragraph about meditation. A few things that jump out at me. Again, I love this idea that meditation is a quest, right? We begin with what we're given, whether it's books or the scriptures, or as it points out there, even the book of creation, the world around us, history, right? What's happened in this story that God is the author of, what's happened in our own lives, what's happening in the today that we experience. All of these can be the object of our mental questing to understand the author of reality and to understand not just what he's saying in general, you know, what his whole creation speaks of who he is and what he's saying to us, but more specifically for this day, what is the Lord speaking to me about my life, about what I'm to do, about you know, what's going on in my life and what the next step is. The Catechism mentions there that attentiveness, right, the required attentiveness is difficult to sustain. And again, this harkens back to this notion of the journey, right? Prayer is this journey, not just of what we're saying, not just of this relationship, but even how we're changed by our prayer and we become more the kind of person who can engage in prayer, right? As we practice paying attention, we get better at paying attention. As we practice being attentive, we become more the kind of person who is able to be attentive. As we practice sitting still, being in silence, being in the presence of another person. We think of, again, I like to make the analogy with human relationships, like to be able to be with another person and even allow there to be some silence, to not fill every moment with babbling, but to just be with a person, to listen to them, and not just to listen to them to get ready for our next response, but to really listen and try to learn from them. All of these things are good, but they also train us, they change us to be more the kind of person who's able to do them. And so too, when we pray, we practice being the kind of person who's able to pray better. So with meditation, right, it's difficult to go in this mental quest to reflect on the scriptures, to reflect on great books or the world or history or our lives. But the more we practice it, the better we get. As that paragraph notes, again, there's lots of options. Books, the sacred scripture is, of course, our preeminent source for meditation. You know, we practice in the Catholic Church, we practice what we call lectio divina, divine reading, where we read a bit of the scripture, we reflect on it, we listen for how the Lord is moving our hearts, then we read it again, and we kind of go deeper into it. And that's a form of this meditative prayer. But there's lots of objects for our meditative prayer, the scripture being the highest, but, you know, it also might be the book of creation. You might sit outdoors and just reflect on God's creation. I think one of the most fascinating points here and most salient for our notion of the journey of prayer is how even our own lives, the contents of the day should be the object of our meditation. Let me read the next paragraph because it fleshes that out a little bit and then we'll dig into it. This is paragraph 2706. To meditate on what we read helps us to make it our own by confronting it with ourselves. Here, another book is opened, the book of life. We pass from thoughts to reality. To the extent that we are humble and faithful, we discover in meditation the movements that stir the heart, and we are able to discern them. It is a question of acting truthfully in order to come into the light. Lord, what do you want me to do? So in addition to those external sources, you know, external potential objects of our meditation, we also have this great book of life that's opened up to us, right? Everything in our life that happens, the good and the bad, God has allowed and for a purpose, right? There's something to be gained from it. Even while it sounds and feels a little weird to say, even our sins, right? God never intends us to sin, but he knows from all eternity that we're going to make these mistakes. And if we think on them and try to understand what led up to them and make a resolution for how we're going to do differently in the future, then they become this source of grace, right? God brings grace. Where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. And so that's why we have this practice in the Catholic Church of the examination of conscience, right? Taking time daily or weekly or in preparation for confession or in preparation for the Mass, because we experience God's forgiveness at the Mass as well. Taking time to, again, to meditate, to think on our experiences, to think about what's happened. And I think a good examination of conscience should include not just reflecting on our mistakes, but also on the blessings that God has given us. But we're meditating on the events of our lives and trying to see God's hand in them, seeing where God was present and offering us opportunities, offering us grace, and those moments where we showed up for those, when we received God's grace and embraced it, and those moments when we stepped aside from grace, when we turned in our freedom away from God. And again, our meditation on those things can yield great fruit because we understand more, again, of God's great love and mercy, but also we understand the ways and the reasons and the sources for our sins. And so we're able then to prepare better, to seek God's mercy, to invite his healing, and to make different choices in the future. Once again, this book of life, the book of the life that God has given us, especially even those aspects of our lives that are unexpected, that we have little control over, we meditate on them, and we see what God is trying to teach us. The Catechism also notes in here that to the extent that we are humble and faithful, we discover in meditation the movements that stir the heart. There's a connection. The Catechism is noting this connection between the character of our heart, our character, our virtue, and our ability to know and be receptive to information, to truth. Right? We can go into meditation as this quest without attending to our hearts and be intent on finding answers and not finding them. And part of that might be, what is the state of our hearts? Do we approach God? Do we approach meditation? Do we approach study? Do we approach, you know, learning, you know, reading? Do we approach it with a heart that is closed, that is prejudiced, like prejudged? We know what we're trying to find. Or do we approach meditation and study with this openness of heart, with this humility, with this true desire to learn, this true desire to be challenged? Right? Do we go into our reading of sacred scripture to just be confirmed in what we already believe, right? To feel, confirmed, you know, that I'm right and I'm going on the right path and I'm such a good person. Or do we go ready and expecting and willing to be challenged, to be shaken out of our comfort zones, to be redirected where we're wrong, right? That the status of our heart, what's in our heart as we approach meditative prayer, determines whether we can really be open to what God is speaking to us. And that all goes back to the beginning with the Catechism talking about this composure of heart. That's this deep thread in all forms of prayer, that yes, we go in meditation, we might go to the scriptures or to our spiritual work or to our lives and go on this quest to seek out what God is speaking to us. But how we compose our heart is important, right? We want to compose it in humility and true docility to what God is trying to speak to us. And of course, this paragraph in the Catechism, again, that was 2706, it concludes with this real high point in understanding what the goal of meditation is, this meditative sort of prayer, and that is to come into the light and to be able to ask this crucial question, Lord, what do you want me to do? In all of our prayer, again, this is where the different expressions kind of blend together. Even when we're speaking to God, even when we're telling God what we think, what we feel, what we believe, we're thanking him, we're asking, even when we're asking God for our needs or for something that we're wanting to happen, we're asking God for it. There should always be this meditative background of it where we're speaking, but we're listening to God. Because what's more important than what I'm saying to God is ultimately what he's saying to me, and not what he's saying to me theoretically, but what he's saying to me practically, what God is moving my heart towards conversion, towards a change of life, right? Because we go to prayer not to change God, even when we're praying for our needs or praying for something that we're struggling with, we're ultimately going to prayer to be changed, right? We pray for God's will to be done. And it's in praying that our will comes into alignment with God's will. And even when we're praying for something that doesn't turn out to be God's will, our praying for good things is how we bring our will in alignment with God. And so this height of meditative prayer, this ultimate goal of it, is to move us to the question and to open this to the answer to the question of, Lord, what are you calling me to do today? As I read scripture, as I study the books in front of me, as I think upon my life, what's most important that I'm open to receiving is God's movement, God's prompting me to change, right? Like when Christ calls the disciples, you know, away from their nets and sends them off to be fishers or men, or Christ calls to the rich young ruler, he calls him to sell all that he has and follow him, right? We want to be open and receptive to those calls, to those movements to change. This also, like, it harkens back to the, again, the dynamic interconnection between our active life and our prayer life. In a previous episode, I read the quote from Father Thomas Dubay, and actually, let me read that again. This is from his book, Deep Conversion, Deep Prayer, and he writes, "There is a mutual intercausality between deep conversion and deep prayer. They are not merely juxtaposed, one next to the other. Each one helps to bring about the other. The more we are rid of our egocentrisms, the more we are open to the divine infusions of love and intimacy. As St. Paul puts it, we are transformed from one depth of beauty to another, a gift of the indwelling spirit. In the other direction, a progressively deepening prayer furthers our purification from venial sins." So again, there's intercausality, interconnection between our active life, you know, our work, our play, our relationships, our money, our time, all the stuff of life, all the active part of our life, and our prayer life, right? We have to be traveling both of those with Christ. You know, we pray. And as we pray, we listen, right? We make note of and then act upon God's promptings and revelations about what we need to do and how we need to change, right? So we pray, we go deep into prayer, we see that as this relationship with God, we make time for it, we guard it, we go deeply into it, but we're always open to the fruit of prayer being conversion, the ways we need to change, the decisions we need to make or make differently, right? And so too, when we act, when we strive to live our lives out faithfully in every area, we store up fodder for prayer, right? As we go through our lives and doing the best we can, trying to stay in the presence of God, trying to do God's will as best as we understand it, we take note of the blessings that we can then be grateful for and express that gratitude in our prayer. We take note of those sins and wounds we've received so that we can repent of them in prayer and seek God's healing. We take note of the needs and intercessions, the things that worry us, that we're struggling with, or the people around us are struggling with, and we take those to prayer. And finally, as we go through life, as we're changed by our living, by our actions, both those moments that we cooperate with grace and those moments that we fall short, again, we bring that all back to prayer with a greater understanding of who God is, his great mercy, his great love, the great gift of our lives, the great gift of all of our experiences. And so we go back to prayer with greater adoration, greater worship, greater awe and wonder at our Creator, at our Father, God. And so, again, there's this intercausality, this interconnection between our life of prayer and our active life. And we have to proceed along both of them, right? We can't, sometimes we wish we could push pause on our life and just go into prayer. You know, as a husband and father and a professional, you know, there are days I wish I could just push pause and go off in the desert and pray. We can't do that, right? God gives us vocations and missions, and we have to carry them out. So we have to do our best to carry out the life that God has given us faithfully, to be faithful to his missions, to the work that he's given us. But we do have to carve out time for prayer and to guard that time fiercely. And we'll find in both those areas that as we go deeper into our prayer, if we're open, if we're, again, we're humble and faithful, that God will give us the next steps. He'll show us, he'll bring us clarity on how we need to change our lives, right? And if we then try to run our lives faithfully, you know, we sally forth and we do our best, you know, each day to love our neighbor and to take care of our families and do our work, that then we also, we find the fodder to bring in back into our prayer. And I would also say that you know, as we, especially when we make those specific times to pray, if we make that a regular part of our life and we're faithful to it, we'll become better at staying in prayer, staying in the presence of God, mentally at least, even throughout our work, even through as we go throughout our lives, our relationships, all the ups and downs of life. When we pray in specific times, we'll get better at praying at all times, regardless of what we're doing. Final couple sections here in the Catechism, in the section on meditation. This is paragraph 2707. "There are as many and varied methods of meditation as there are spiritual masters. Christians owe it to themselves to develop the desire to meditate regularly, lest they come to resemble the first three kinds of soil in the parable of the sower. But a method is only a guide. The important thing is to advance with the Holy Spirit along the way of prayer, Christ Jesus. So in that section, again, a good note here, sometimes when people hear about meditation, they start thinking along things along the lines of things that they've heard, right? What's a particular method of meditation, or I need to be taught a certain method. And there are, you know, you got to be cautious with those. There are some good things in the church in the present time, also in the spiritual writers of the church, there's some good helps and guides. But the more important than the method is just the perseverance in prayer. Meditation, in some sense, is very simple. It's just, again, it's just composing our heart and mind before God. It's turning our mind towards something beautiful, towards the scriptures, towards the world, towards our lives. And then just being in the presence of God and being attentive, looking for those things that God wants to speak to us. And I think sometimes we want a method. We want a guide. We want to go out and buy a new book to help us with meditation, when really all we need is just to persevere in meditation, right? We have to recognize that it's a journey. There's not going to be some meditation, some guide that's going to eliminate the need for the journey. You just have to stay on this journey with Christ, this relationship. And so some of those things can be helpful, but ultimately it's about remaining on the journey. It's about, you know, inviting the Holy Spirit to guide you and help you in that journey, and just continue showing up, right? The most important part of prayer is just showing up, because ultimately it's not about what we're doing, or it's far less about what we're doing. It's more about what our Lord is doing in us. So we just need to keep showing up. Final paragraph here, section of meditation. This is paragraph 2708. Meditation engages thought, imagination, emotion, and desire. This mobilization of faculties is necessary in order to deepen our convictions of faith, prompt the conversion of our heart, and strengthen our will to follow Christ. Christian prayer tries above all to meditate on the mysteries of Christ, as in Lectio Divina or the Rosary. This form of prayerful reflection is of great value, but the Christian prayer should go further to the knowledge of the love of the Lord Jesus, to union with Him. So again, in this final section, this reminder that the core element in terms of what we contribute to prayer is this attempt to compose our hearts, to mobilize all of our faculties, our mind, our imagination, our body, our spirit, all together in one before God. And in meditation specifically, it's to bring those together in this quest of the mind to look at scripture or the world or our lives, the events of our lives, and to seek, you know, what is God speaking to us. But then the closing of this paragraph is a reminder that even that, though, is not the deepest form of prayer. It's not where this journey terminates. Prayer is not just talking to God in terms of vocal prayer, although that's an important starting point. Prayer is not just learning about Him and His will for your life, although that's an utterly essential aspect of the Christian life in meditative prayer. But ultimately, the goal, the culmination of the life of prayer, the journey of prayer, is intimacy with the Lord. It's union, it's communion with Him. And so, again, you can't dispense with vocal prayer or meditative prayer. It's part of that journey, but there's even more. God wants to give you certainly your marching orders, certainly healing, certainly grace. Certainly, He wants to meet you in prayer and help you along the Christian life. But ultimately, again, the goal of the Christian life is union with Him. It's that relationship. And so all the forms of prayer are paving the way, are building the virtues, are building the predispositions of heart to be able to be open to that deepest form of prayer, that prayer of union, that contemplation. And we'll talk about that next time in the next section of the Catechism. Again, hopefully this has been helpful to you, some things to think about in your journey of prayer. I want to remind you that if you're someone who's exploring the Catholic Church, you're interested in this aspect of the Catholic faith, this journey of prayer, the Catechism here. We have lots of resources for you available at chnetwork.org. If you go there, you'll find a newsletter, you'll find events and an online community, as well as people who'd love to hear your story and pray with you and for you as you continue that journey and you explore. But in the meantime, the journey of prayer continues. And so let's pray for each other. I'll be back again next week to talk more about expressions of prayer, talk about contemplation. In the meantime, God bless you. See you then.